Okay, my apologies for being a little bit late. Well, I want to speak about this Monday night in the Hashkafa talk is the relationship between parents and kids over Frumkeit. Meaning, particularly, what happens when kids want to be more Frum than their parents, want to be more observant than their parents. How does one go about making that happen in the smoothest way possible? And what are the proper approaches to take to ensure that one will have as wholesome a relationship with one's parents, even as one continues to grow, perhaps in ways that parents either are not themselves or are not interested in you growing in that direction, or concerns that they have. This is obviously a rather complicated topic, and there's no one size fits all, because no parent is exactly the same as another parent, and no situation between how from the kid is and how from the parent is exactly the same. So I'm just going to make a lot of caveats at the beginning. And I'm not talking here about parents who are abusive. Chas v'shalom. Parents who are abusive, that's a whole different schmooze. That's a private thing. And I'm assuming that most parents are not abusive. So abusive parents is a different thing, which is really sensitive and, you know, needs like a private discussion. I'm not going to speak publicly about that, because every case is like totally different. But let's assume we're not talking about abusive parents. We're just talking about parents who are involved in their kids' lives, and they led their own lives in a certain way, or they're leading their own lives in a certain way. And for various reasons, it's concerning to them when they see their kids becoming too frum. Most cases, they're concerned about, will my child have a parnassa? Because my son went off to Israel for a year or two, and now he's becoming a rabbi. And we all know that rabbis don't make enough money to live. That's one of the big issues that parents have. Or it just actually, it's not about parnassa. It just makes them feel uncomfortable, and they feel like when your kid is becoming so frum, so willy-nilly, there's like an implied statement to my parents that I'm better than my parents. And my parents did a bad job raising me, because they're not really frum and I really am frum. So there are a lot of parents that feel that way. They feel like their kids are looking down on them because they're not so frum, or their kids are not going to make a parnasa because they're just going to be involved in this Torah study all day long. So how are they going to make a parnasa? So I'm just going to try to give some general guidelines. It should be obvious to everybody here that Kibud Av V'Em is one of the Ten Commandments. I know I didn't have to tell you that, but I need to remind you of that, that it's one of the Ten Commandments, because a lot of times kids your age do not have appropriate Kibud Av V'Em. And like, I'm such a big shot. When I was your age, I did not have, that's how I know that when I was your age, I did not necessarily have appropriate Kibud Av V'Em. And we have to take a second and stop and remind ourselves about how important Kibud Av V'Em, Laman Yarichun Yamecha, right? There's very few mitzvahs that the Torah goes out of its way to tell you what the reward is. Laman Yarichun Yamecha. Whoa, that's pretty serious. That a person who has mastered Kibud Av V'Em is going to benefit long life. That's what the Torah says. Shaila olam hazeh, olam haba. But laman yarichan yamecha. And I will tell you that most of the reason that Kibud Av V'Em is so hard for everybody, for a lot of people, for most people that I know, Kibud Av V'Em is so hard is for one simple reason. You've never had a kid. The second you have a kid, your whole attitude towards Kibud Av V'Em is going to change. And it's impossible to communicate that. don't know what it is to hold your own child, for a woman to carry a child around for 9 months in her belly and then to have to change 1,000 or 2,000 diapers, many of them with them spritzing in your face while you're changing the diaper, and then to go drive 25,000 carpools and to give up all of your parnassa to buy 2,500 articles of clothing and to buy all the food and to pay for camp and to pay tuition. Raising kids is insane. It's insane. It's really challenging and difficult. So when you have your own kid, you all of a sudden have a different attitude towards your parents. And I'm not blaming anybody for this. I had the same thing. But while we're negotiating this stress, let's remember what our parents go through, went through for us. Kibud Av'eim, Ramban says, Hakaras HaTov, Hakaras HaTov. So we must treat our parents with respect. When I was in the sixth grade, so my Rebbe, I was in Broyers in sixth grade, and my Rebbe was Rabbi Rafael Wallerstein. Rabbi Rafael Wallerstein, my sixth grade Rebbe. We were learning Parshas Emor, this week's Parsha. No, must have been Kedoshim. Kedoshim to you. Last week's Parsha. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u. So my Rebbe said, any person who doesn't believe that his father is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world should, I don't know what he said, you know, deserves like, you know, lashes. Or what, I don't know what he said. He said something crazy. Sixth grade. So I raised my hand and I said, but Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a bigger Talmud Chacham than my father. What do you mean he's the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world? My Rebbe said to me, 10 X's. You get 10 X's. He gave me 10 X's. He had a whole system about checks and X's. Don't ask. He gave me 10 X's for saying that my father wasn't the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. He was trying to impress upon me something. Again, whether he's right that my father was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, and I'm not going to go into now, but you have to have a tremendous amount of reverence. A person has to revere his father and mother. You have to have reverence, and there's no way you could do that, but you have to try to project what it's like to have your own kid. Rav Avram Shor once said that the reason why the Satan is getting at Kibud Av'eim for us nowadays, the Satan is making it so hard. Rav Avram Shor said that his father used to say that if his father, Rav Avram Shor's grandfather, his father was Rav Gedalia Shor, if Rav Gedalia Shor's father would say to Rav Gedalia Shor in the middle of the day that it's nighttime, Rav Gedalia Shor must have thought he wasn't that he himself, the Rav Gedalia, must not be seeing straight. That's the level of reverence that the previous generation had for parents. So why nowadays do we not have this reverence? Because the Satan knows that if we would all revere our parents, Mashiach would come tomorrow. That's what Rav Amshor said, because if the Mesorah would be so strong that we would just accept the Mesorahs of our parents, Mashiach would come tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Anyway. At the same time, gentlemen, at the same time, your parents have zero right to control one iota of how frum or not frum you want to be. They have zero right to tell you how frum you should be. Zero. The Gemara says if your parent tells you to sin, you're not allowed to listen to them. To extrapolate from that is if your parents tell you not to focus on Limud HaTorah, not to focus on Shmiras HaMitzvahs to the degree that you want to, that you shouldn't be so strict in your mitzvah adherence, they have no right to tell you anything. However, gentlemen, a wise man deals with his parents with sensitivity, and adarabah, commensurate, and at the same time that you are growing in your own Torah and mitzvah observance, your midos tovos should be growing exponentially with your increased Torah observance. And the more a person works on his midos and is sensitive to his parents, sensitive and understanding and being careful the way things are going to look to his parents, and to be careful and to do things with wisdom and sensitivity and thought, and to go out of your way to take out the garbage times 100, and to go out of the way, if you're becoming so frum, well, then you better be 1,000 times firmer when it comes to taking out the garbage or buying your mom, breakfast in bed. Okay, maybe that's not a good example. Or buying your mom flowers before Shabbos or whatever it is. Or making sure to clean up your room. Concurrent with your own newfound steiging in Torah and mitzvahs should be times 5 and times 20 your midas tovus. You're speaking softly. Your humility. Your midas tovos. And the more a person works on his midas tovos and he treats his parents with like a malach, the more your parents are going to be proud of you, Frumkeit. Because it's not just about how you warm up the food on Shabbos. It's not just about how many hours you're spending in the base, but it's also about how much sensitivity and midos and understanding you have for your parents. And if you're Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, multiplied even more than your Bein Adam L'Makom, you're going to have less problem with your parents. Because they're going to be so proud of your midos tovos, about the way you talk to them, about the reverence that you have when you talk to your parents. It's going to be less of an issue. You're going to be a walking Kiddush Hashem. Now, parents sometimes mix themselves into areas that they should not be mixing themselves into, like how frum you should or shouldn't be, like who you should be dating in Shiduchim. Your parents have no right to tell you who you should and should not marry. Now, again, they've been around the block more. You have to listen to them. You have to hear what they have to say with respect. But at the end of the day, you decide who you're going to marry. Now, a lot of people need their parents for parnasa. I went out of my way that from the second I got married, and again, maybe the world now is a different kind of world, so we can't conduct ourselves like this. But I did not date before I was ready to support myself. It was very, very hard. Don't get me wrong. It was very, very hard. But I hustled. I ran around. I was in the kollel, and I was a youth director, and I worked for NCSY, and I hustled. I checked the Erev. I did all kinds of things to hustle. I never took a penny of support from either my parents or my in-laws. Not one penny did I ever take. I supported myself, and I did it bedafka that way, so that my parents or in-laws should not be able to tell me what to do, because I was financially independent from them from day number one of my marriage. But before you're married, you're still financially dependent on them, which you should be and you have to be. So you're going to need to take what they have to say into account a little bit more. And no kid has a right to say to his parents, please support me in learning for X amount of years. No kid has a right to say that to any parent. If a parent wants to, or they're willing to, givaldik, if you feel that'll be good for the beginning of your marriage. But no person has a right to say to his parents, you know, you need to support me for X amount of years. Any questions while we take a short pause? Any questions up to this point? Please give me pushback, disagree, sharpen this, please. Yes, Aaron Mayer.
So I've heard before, like, the idea, like, especially, like, in Chinuch, or say more like Kiruv, that you're supposed to love someone in order to be Makariv them. But I want to ask more on the flip side. Let's say you do love someone. Let's say it's your parents, it's your siblings, and you want them to be better in, let's say, Torah, Mitzvah, observance. Do you think there's any role that we should or we could, or do you think we should stay completely out of it?
You're not your parents' mashgiach. You're not your parents' mashgiach. Remember that. It's not up to you. You know the best thing you could do to influence your parents to be more frum? The best thing you could do is be an amazing person and show the chashivas of Limud HaTorah. It's to model it. By the way, it's not only with your parents. Same thing with your kids. Same thing with your friends. Same thing with anybody. Very few people are going to become more frum because you're going to give them a good musar shavuos, and that's going to cause them to be more frum. The way you're going to cause me a frum is that you should love your frumkeit. You should be besimcha all the time. And they should see that you're such a balmidis and such a successful person. And people talk about you, that you're a ben Torah and you're a shemayim and a balmidis toivus. And that's the best way that people are going to want to be like you. Not by you telling them how they should be. You're not your parents' mashgiach. No, 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 no. You should not. I know you love them. And I know you want them to be frum and you want them to get olam haba. And you want them to live long lives. But it's not up to you to tell them that. It's not up to you to tell them that. Any other, yeah, Ellie.
Yeah, the Rebbe mentioned that parents shouldn't have a right to tell their kids like who they marry. But then I guess expanding on that point, does that mean, you know, even they say, you know, we don't approve it, it's not something we're on board with, we're not going to be bashung with it. You know, you could say, no, regardless of how many, I mean, not quoting you specifically, but saying, no, it's my choice, it's my marriage, which can create a lot of, I guess, down the line, a lot of problems.
So it's a very important and very tricky and not easy to answer question, okay? You have to respect your parents' views. You have to hear them out. A lot of times we just like dismiss what they have to say, but a lot of times what they have to say has tremendous merit and wisdom. And they've been around the block more than us, and we got to listen very, very carefully. And if you're going to disagree with that, it's got to be because, you know, you have a very, very strong reason to disagree. It's got to be a very good reason to disagree, A. And B, you're right. If you disagree, you are making major issues for your marriage going forward. You're making major, major issues. So that's another reason why there's got to be a darn good reason why you think this girl is the girl. I mean, there's 1.5 billion girls in the world. So, you know, you got to be very, very careful if you're going to go against your parents' words. What I really meant more, Ellie, was, let's say your parents originally said it was good. And I had a case like this. I'll just tell you. B'didi hava uvda. I don't get so involved in shiduchim so much. I'm embarrassed to admit. I don't get so involved. I had a case like this. A guy and a girl were dating. I was very close to the guy. And the parents did not like the girl. I met with the guy. I met with the girl. I heard them out. And I thought this girl was a great girl for the guy. I understood why the parents didn't feel that way, what their concerns were. But I felt that their concerns were unfounded. And they were getting involved. And the guy and girl were getting very close. And the parents didn't like the girl. And Baruch Hashem, Siyata Deshmaya, I was able to convince the parents that the girl would be great for the guy. They're married. They have two kids. The parents grew to love this girl. And they saw, I don't know why they couldn't see it. Whatever. I don't want to get into why they couldn't see it. But to me, it was a no-brainer. So that's really the case, the kind of case that I was talking about, Ellie. Not where the parents say, you know, this girl's, you know, parents were abusive, and you don't know what's underneath, you know, there. Whatever, it's tricky. It's very tricky. There's no simple answers, but I think the answer is that you have to be sensitive. You have to hear them echo, and you better have a darn good reason for not listening to them. There's got to be a really good reason, because yeah, if they don't go along with it, it's very, very hard to go through a marriage that your parents are total. It's been done. I know of a case of somebody who married a girl whose parents were fire and brimstone against, were advised by Gedolei Torah not to go to the wedding, ended up going just for the chuppah and left, and now are unbelievably close with the daughter-in-law. Unbelievably close. Even was against advice of Gedolei Torah to go, But now we're close. So it's that's why I'm saying, Ellie, it's so hard to give rules here, but I agree with you. I agree with you. You bet it's you're really taking a big risk. You're taking a big risk if you're gonna go off on your own on something like that. Any other questions or pushback? This is such an important topic. Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbi said earlier, I don't think anyone would disagree that Torah learning should translate to a better tikkun amidos, all the more so. But lemaisa, a lot of time that doesn't happen. So I know this is probably like a topic for another shmooze, but I guess b'kitzur, how do we make it that our Talmud Torah and our growth in at least our religious practices translates to better founding chaverim?
Wow. Oh, that definitely is another schmooze. It's a gewaltige. It's a gewaltige kasha. It's definitely another schmooze. Definitely another schmooze. How can I answer you standing on one foot? Learn Musser. What can I tell you? Learn Musser. I always talk about humility is the most important midah for a person to have. You got to learn Musser. You got to learn Musser and attach yourself to Bali Musser. Look at people like Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Rav Shechter Shlita. Look at the humility of people like that who, mamish, don't care about themselves. And, look at people, whatever. Look at real gedolim, real gedolim. Real. Look at a guy like Baruch Simon. Look at Reb Tzvi Sabalevsky. Look at these gedolei Torah. Look at these people. They're like malachim. And Baruch Simon. Can anyone think of Baruch Simon in his lifetime has ever said a negative word about another human being? Look at these people, Rav Yaakov Neuberger. These are tzaddikei olam. Tzaddikei olam. We have to learn from these people. How do you talk? How do you talk about people? How do you talk? How do you refine your character, your midos? You're right. Right? I told you that Rav Yisrael Salanter said it's easier to finish Shas than to change one bad midah that you have. It's doable, though. It's doable. I spoke about this in YU. Changing your midos is doable. It's hard. Oh, is it hard? Oh, it's hard. It's hard like Gehenna. But it's doable. It's doable. And it's a lifetime of work. It's a life that's not going to happen by tomorrow. It's not going to happen by tomorrow. It's a lifetime of work. But it's doable, and we can do it. Any last questions about this? Such an important topic. Any last questions? We're G? Okay. Abaisai, thanks for joining. Everybody, have a great night. I'm sorry again. I really apologize. I was late. I got hooked up with a couple of other things. I apologize.
Thank you. Thank you.